Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 30. Refutation of another argument adduced by the Marcionites, that God directed the Hebrews to spoil the Egyptians. Those again who cavil and find fault, because the people did, by God's command, upon the eve of their departure, take vessels of all kinds and raiment from the Egyptians, and so went away, from which spoils, too, the tabernacle was constructed in the wilderness, prove themselves ignorant of the righteous dealings of God, and of his dispensations, as also the priest remarked. For if God had not accorded this in the typical Exodus, no one could now be saved in our true Exodus, that is, in the faith in which we have been established, and by which we have been brought forth from among the number of the Gentiles. For in some cases there follows us a small, and in others a large amount of property, which we have acquired from the mammon of unrighteousness. For from what source do we derive the houses in which we dwell, the garments in which we are clothed, the vessels which we use, and everything else ministering to our everyday life, unless it be from those things which, when we were Gentiles, we acquired by avarice, or received them from our heathen parents, relations, or friends who unrighteously obtained them. Not to mention that even now we acquire such things when we are in the faith. For who is there that sells, and does not wish to make a profit from him who buys? Or who purchases anything, and does not wish to obtain good value from the seller? Or who is there that carries on a trade, and does not do so that he may obtain a livelihood thereby? And as to those believing ones who are in the royal palace, do not they not derive the utensils they employ from the property which belongs to Caesar? And to those who have not, does not each one of these Christians give according to his ability? The Egyptians were debtors to the Jewish people, not alone as to property, but as their very lives, because of the kindness of the patriarch Joseph in former times. But in what way are the heathen debtors to us, from whom we receive both gain and profit? Whatsoever they amass with labor, these things do we make use of without labor, although we are in the faith. Up to that time, the people served the Egyptians in the most abject slavery, as Scripture says, and the Egyptians exercised their power rigorously upon the children of Israel, and they made life bitter to them by severe labors in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field which they did, by all the works in which they oppressed them with rigor. And with immense labor they built for them walled cities, increasing the substance of these men throughout a long course of years, and by means of every species of slavery. While these masters were not only ungrateful towards them, but had in contemplation their utter annihilation. In what way, then, did the Israelites act unjustly, if out of many things they took a few? They who might have possessed much property had they not served them, and might have gone forth wealthy, while in fact, by receiving only a very insignificant recompense for their heavy servitude, they went away poor. It is just as if any free man, being forcibly carried away by another, and serving him for many years and increasing his substance, should be thought, when he ultimately obtains some support, to possess some small portion of his master's property, but should in reality depart, having only obtained a little as the result of his own great labors, and out of vast possessions which have been acquired. And this should be made by any one the subject of accusation against him, as if he had not acted properly. The accuser will rather appear as an unjust judge against him who had been forcibly carried away into slavery. Of this kind, then, are these men also, who charge the people with blame, because they appropriated a few things out of many, but who bring no charge against those who did not render them the recompense due to their father's services, nay, but even reducing them to the most irksome slavery, obtained the highest profit from them. And these accusers allege that the Israelites acted dishonestly, because, forsooth, they took away for the recompense of their labors, as I have observed, unstamped gold and silver in a few vessels, while they say that they themselves, for let truth be spoken, although to some it may seem ridiculous, do act honestly when they carry away in their girdles from the labors of others coined gold and silver and brass, with Caesar's inscription and image upon it. If, however, a comparison be instituted between us and them, which party shall seem to have received their worldly goods in the more fair manner? Will it be the Jewish people who took from the Egyptians, who were at all points their debtors, or we, who receive property from the Romans and other nations, who are under no similar obligation to us? Yea, moreover, through their instrumentality, the world is at peace, and we walk on the Roman highways without fear, and sail where we will. Therefore, against men of this kind, namely the heretics, the word of the Lord applies, which says, "You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your eye, and then you shall see clearly, to pull the mote out of your brother's eye. For if he who lays these things to your charge, and glories in his own wisdom, has been separated from the company of the Gentiles, and possesses nothing derived from other people's goods, but is literally naked and barefoot, and dwells homeless among the mountains, like any of those animals do which feed on grass, he will stand excused, as being ignorant of the necessities of our mode of life. But if he does partake of what, in the opinion of men, is the property of others, and if, at the same time, he runs down their type, he proves himself most unjust, turning this kind of accusation against himself. For he will be found carrying about property not belonging to him, and coveting goods which are not his. And therefore has the Lord said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you shall judge, you shall be judged." The meaning is certainly not that we should not find fault with sinners, nor that we should consent to those who act wickedly, but that we should not pronounce an unfair judgment on the dispensations of God, inasmuch as he has himself made provision that all things shall turn out for good, in a way consistent with justice. For because he knew that we would make a good use of our substance, which we should possess by receiving it from another, he says, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. And, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. And, when you give alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And we are proved to be righteous by whatsoever else we do well, redeeming, as it were, our property from strange hands. But thus do I say, from strange hands, not as if the world were not God's possession, but that we have gifts of this sort, and receive them from others, in the same way as these men had them from the Egyptians, who did not know God. And by means of these same, we do erect in ourselves the tabernacle of God. For God dwells in those who act uprightly, as the Lord says, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that they, when you shall be put to flight, may receive you into eternal tabernacles. For whatever we acquired from unrighteousness when we were heathen, we are proved righteous when we have become believers by applying it to the Lord's advantage. As a matter of course, therefore, these things were done beforehand, in a type, and from them was the tabernacle of God constructed. Those persons justly receiving them, as I have shown, while we were pointed out beforehand in them, who should afterwards serve God by the things of others. For the whole exodus of the people out of Egypt, which took place under divine guidance, was a type and image of the exodus of the church, which should take place from among the Gentiles. And for this cause, he leads it out at last from this world into his own inheritance, which Moses, the servant of God, did not bestow, but which Jesus, the Son of God, shall give for an inheritance. And if anyone will devote a close attention to those things which are stated by the prophets with regard to the end, and those which John, the disciple of the Lord, saw in the Apocalypse, he will find that the nations are to receive the same plagues universally as Egypt did then particularly. End of chapter 30.